Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Yes, in our weekly Human Condition segment with clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley, we're exploring emotions. We all have them, and they manifest themselves in a wide range of intensity and circumstances. Last week, we talked about those high-energy emotions versus low-energy emotions and their effect on the brain. Lynn, welcome back. Can you cope with emotions of extreme frustration? Help me. So where are we heading tonight?
Apart from being a gremlin buster.
Yeah, that's right. Not yet. We'll get them. So, where are we heading tonight?
Okay, look, this week we're looking at the balance that we need to have of positive versus negative emotions in order to function well. And the formula or ratio that suggested that to give us optimum performance. And we'll also go through some really helpful work that helps us to regulate our emotions and to understand why they're there and what we can do about them.
Yeah. So take us through this formula. I'm intrigued.
Well, last week we went through how the brain is much more open to change or new ideas and creativity and learning when there is a more optimistic and positive set of emotions in place. And we can have high energy positive emotions such as joy, excitement and happiness and elation, and they generate us to do a whole lot more.
Yep.
And then we can have low energy and positive emotions such as peace and calmness and contentment, and that activates us to open our minds and to think new thoughts and be really quite creative. So now we've got some great studies which have shown us that there is an actual ratio of positive to negative emotions that's needed for us to actually have that positive, open mindset.
Intriguing.
Yes. Now, one set of studies suggests that the positive emotions are important facilitators for stress resistance, and they counteract the long-term or the short-term arousal which you get from stress.
Okay.
So the people who, these are the people who find a joke in the midst of great difficulties.
I'm resonating with
you. Yes. And they're the people who can laugh at the same time as they can cry. So they'll be crying but then see something funny about it.
Okay.
And they can make a difficult situation seem like some sort of a funny side of it. Now, they're the people who seem to be able to to cope with their stress a lot better. But other work suggests that those who are deficit in positive emotional experiences are more vulnerable to the effects of stress. Now, those are the people who are really prickly. And they react to negative events by getting offended easily or holding a grudge or getting offended if others aren't sad with them and feeling sorry for them.
Yeah.
So it's been shown that the positive emotional experiences during the developing years, so early on, they appear as a buffer for future adversity. So basically, almost like we've developed more positive, sensitive neurons.
Physically,
yes.
Yeah. So they tune into the positive more than the negative.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't we need to have, I guess, some sort of balance? We can't have all positive feelings all the time. We wouldn't be real.
No. And that's right. And the actual balance is actually important. And as I've said before, there's a need for adversity and there is a need for negative emotions.
Yes.
They give us information and we need to be in a zone where we can use the emotions for information and not be reactive and prickly and shut down.
Yes.
So trauma and stress are situations when the brain's bombarded by negative and confusing events and experience. So in order to recover or sustain ourselves or to grow in the process of these experiences, the brain needs to be able to balance the negative and positive emotions. But in order to thrive and be resilient, the brain needs to outweigh. So it organises itself so that it has more positive to negative.
So this is organising itself independent of what we're like.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. Now, there's this great mathematician. He's very interesting, called Marcel Losada. And he proposed the Losada Zone, named after him, of course, which says...
You're entering the Losada Zone.
There's a Losada Zone. Yeah. And it says that the relationships and the connections, they're not linear, so they're circular, and they're subjected to the positive versus negative ratio, so the PN ratio.
Yep.
Now, there's an optimum ratio, and that falls between... The Losada Zone falls in between... and it has to be greater or equal to 3 to 1 or lower than 11 to 1.
So this is, again, the ratio of positive versus negative. 3 to 1 positive outdoing negative.
Yes.
Or 11 to 1.
Okay. Yes. So you've got to be in between those.
Right.
So in that zone, you're able to be, you can move through difficulties, you can flourish as a result, and you can actually grow. But either side of the zone, you either become fixed and repetitive in the thinking, or you can't adapt or be open to new experiences or information. So for those who haven't had any troubles, they lose their adaptability. For those with too many troubles and not enough good stuff, they become fixed and negative.
Yes, yeah.
Now, the resilience donut model, the one that I have put forward, that set uses that principle. It says both with children and adults that if there are three or more areas in your life where your strong and positive connections are evident, you'll have a way of thinking that helps you to manage your life and to flourish. But if you have less than those three, you'll start to become negative, you'll repeat past experiences and unhelpful behaviours, and you'll nurse your hurts.
Wow.
So what I find is interesting is that there are people in the studies who had more than 11 to 1. So, you know, 11 positive to 1 negative. I'm thinking that's a little over the top.
Would they be impossible to be around, I think? So what do we do with the emotions once they're in balance, or say between that ratio of 3 to positive to 1 negative, or 11 to 1.
Okay.
The cheesy people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the important thing is to get some regulation.
Okay.
We need to take notice of our emotions. They give us information. When events occur in our lives, we actually have a thought that comes before that feeling. Most of us don't realize that, but this thought is set by the pathways in the brain and can become like a pattern or a strategy of thinking that affects our feelings.
Yes.
So if we have a pattern of thinking that says, people are against me and no one really likes me, when I stub my toe on a table, I get angry and I lash out. Why? Because I'm feeling upset and hurt. Why? Because the automatic thought that went in between stubbing my toe and that feeling of anger was that people are generally against me. Someone must have deliberately put the table there and no one cares enough to have moved it for me.
Thank you.
But if we stop and have some time to consider the emotional reaction, we can think about the thought that we have.
Hmm.
And it gives us information about the past. So to use the toe example, when did I feel like this before? Well, it takes me back to a time when I fell over on the way home from school. Let's say I might have been about 7 and no one was there to help me. And when I got home, no one was home and I felt alone and upset and abandoned.
It makes me so kind of scared yet again of all the responsibility that parents have, and we older parents cannot kind of take that time back.
No.
But
no.
Anyhow, they still turn out pretty well.
That's right, yes. But it doesn't actually relate to now. So those experiences happened.
Yes.
And they set up things that happen. But it doesn't relate to now. It doesn't at all. And you can actually change your thought pattern.
Yes.
And so it's just, you can just say, look, this is just a table. it was there by accident.
And I
might have just been better to wear shoes next time I'm moving the furniture.
That's
and
it.
I can then regulate my emotions. I can start laughing at myself and I can move on.
Yeah.
So basically it is a case of stopping, thinking and working out whether it's really appropriate to have actually had that thought.
Yeah. And no one died in the meantime.
No, particularly my
time. So there's an event, a thought, and then an emotion, and the thought might relate ominously to the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it also might relate to a pattern of thinking that you have that could be really relevant to the situation right now. So emotions are really valuable. They tell us that whether it's safe or not. One of the things I've learned as I've got older is that I should always take notice of my gut feelings. And it doesn't mean that they're right. But they're giving me information based either on my past experience, which tells me that the situation is either safe or dangerous. So, for example, someone I know was chatting on a line online to a friend, a new friend, a potential relationship. They were getting on well and the relationship looked like it might flourish. And then she all of a sudden got a text from a girlfriend. It didn't say much, more like just hi.
Mm-hmm.
But the text made her really angry and frustrated at her girlfriend. She didn't want to reply and she felt put out by the text and she could not work out why. The emotion came out of the blue and there wasn't anything in the text to make her mad.
So what's the problem?
So why did she feel angry?
Yeah.
The first thing that we do here is to try and regulate that emotion. Sit with it. Recognize that it's angry. But don't do anything with it. The next thing is to ask, what was I feeling before the text? What was I thinking? So she might have had feelings of engagement, excitement about this new relationship, the openness of the new relationship, etc. But the next thing to ask is, when I have that, have I had that angry feeling before?
Yeah.
And when we explored that, it was pretty evident that she'd been with this, been out with this girlfriend before, and the girlfriend would often interrupt any new friendship that she'd make, and that'd stop her from making new friends.
Wow.
And it often, she'd often take over and be quite possessive. But it wasn't until this particular time that she got this text that just said, hi, she'd realised this. She hadn't really noticed that a friend was really quite possessive, and the text would trigger off a reaction, which was quite revealing.
I guess I've been, I guess most of us have been there with those kind of memories of past events. So what to do next?
Well, the most helpful thing there is to confront the friend about the text, because there really isn't anything to talk about. It's just a text that says hi.
I know. And the most imagine being on the receiving end of that. All I just said was hi. Heaven's sake.
But the most helpful thing is to think about what sort of friendship she'd like to have with her girlfriend in the future.
Yep.
And then to plan to see her with that future in mind.
Okay.
And also to be aware that the new relationship is likely to cause a jealous reaction, and a compassionate and caring response would be much better than to push her away.
Yeah.
So, in essence, we really do need to spend some time just looking at analysing our emotions.
Yes. Yeah.
But
and be real, I suppose.
Well, yes, but you can't do it all the time. Otherwise, you'd go nuts.
Yes.
And it's actually really important to gain some distance from our strong emotions while at the same time feeling them, so we can then get some understanding of what's happening. It does actually help us to grow and helps us to have some clarity. Mm. It also helps us to work out who's triggering our responses and perhaps even see if the emotion actually belongs to us or is a projection from someone else.
Yeah. Which we'll talk about next week, actually. We'll get into the realm of projection with our emotions.
Yes.
Just give us a taste of what we're talking about.
Okay, we
then
can enter into the world of Freud.
Okay, we've gone from the Lazada zone, or whoever he was, to Freud, good grief.
And then we start looking at, sometimes you can take on the emotions from someone else and they're not yours, and so you have to work out ways to decipher that.
Okay, look forward to it as always. Lynn Worsley, thank you so much for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.